Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adask, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, April 6th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Wendy Wilson will be joining us this afternoon for the first 20 minutes of the program. So, thereabouts, 20 minutes. But first, let's go into the market report so we can get her on ASAP. I think she's got a lot of great information this afternoon. We have gold down $8 today at $1,224.10. Silver's down 7 at $1,517. Platinum is down 7 also. Silver was down 0.07. Platinum is down 7.00, $949. Palladium is down 4 at 545. The USDX today is down 0.17 at 94.45. Crude oil, though, was up 1.88 at 37.77. And it looks like the paper market's up big once again. And you had the Dow up triple digits, 113 points at 17,716. The NASDAQ up 76 at 49.20. The S&P up 21, 2,066. 10-year yield still holding at that 176 level. Euro, 114. That was up 0.16. I noticed that Asian markets were down fairly significantly. Japan was down 2.5. Hong Kong was down 1.5. London and Germany sort of followed, or we followed those markets with them being up just a tad. So we'll see if Wendy Wilson is on the line with us as yet.
Hello, Billy. Hello, Al. How's everybody?
Hello. Pretty good.
Awesome. Well, I thought we'd talk about some of the herbs that science has discovered can kind of turn back or keep the chronological clock from accelerating. So maybe, you know, as close as we get to the Holy Grail. Yeah? You ready?
All right. Yep. Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Now, can
Big Pharma
make money off these herbs?
They want to.
I'm sure
but
they do.
But they haven't quite put their finger on what chemical action is doing it. Well, if you ask people, though, Al and Melody, over the age of 46, they'll tell you that they think more about getting old than they used to. Now, research, research from the University of West England and Trinity University of Texas found that, you know, men and women who worried about their age Well, they tend to they're less likely to maintain appearances, and their quality of life could decline. Now, no one really wants to grow old, or at least look like they're growing old. And scientists, well, they're looking for answers to turn back the clock, or at least stop it from moving forward. And they've been trying to look for this stuff for hundreds of years. So the field of dermatology, you know, they've got their chemical peels and injections to temporarily, you know, provide that younger appearance. And, of course, then there's plastic surgery. You know, Al, I didn't know this. Plastic surgery became popular in 1907. I didn't know it was that popular that early, but okay. But it's a billion-dollar industry, and you got to live with the results, you know, whatever you get. So then there's the anti-wrinkle cream. 2015, this beauty industry made $11.2 billion, and it grew by 3% over 2014. Most, if not all, of the anti-aging sundry items, pretty much more hype than help. Okay, these topical creams have additives called parabens, which are there to preserve the product, and these actually encourage more wrinkles, according to scientists. So how come that happens?
You buy more of the product.
Yeah.
Sounds like a typical strong business model to me.
Yeah.
We addict people to the drugs and sell more to them.
Right, and people want to know, well, how come that is? Well, according to research from Denmark that was published in the Journal of Investigative Dermatology, they found that the advertised key ingredients in these wrinkle creams, they're called liposomes. They say they break apart on the skin's surface and really don't penetrate the skin layers. So the skin has these natural bacterial and acids to protect it from cosmetic substances like this. Therefore, the beauty industry has really struggled with trying to get their rejuvenating substance past the skin's defenses and then deep into the skin layer. And a lot of these ingredients, which are listed on these cosmetics, really cause the skin to lose more moisture, lose more elasticity, and lose more firmness. Now, research done at Bispensberg Hospital in Copenhagen, they found that your average sunblock, the ingredients in your suntan lotion, those ingredients are detectable in your urine after just 2 weeks of use and also influences estrogen hormones, which can increase your risk of cancer. And their research, if you want to look it up, was published in 2004 in the Journal of Investigative Dermatology. But I want to just take a step back for a minute to the plastic surgery because, you know, plastic surgery we think of as a modern 21st century kind of science, but ancient forms of plastic surgery have been practiced all over the world for thousands of years. It actually became a serious practice in Rome when physicians had to perform reconstructive surgery on the gladiators. And a lot of the surgery they're doing then is still being done today. Isn't that cool?
It's pretty surprising. Well, I don't know what to say about it, but I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, and let's talk about what Canada found out, because this is where it gets, you know, the rubber meets the road kind of thing. A group of scientists in Quebec, Canada, had some plant compounds tested to see if the fountain of youth could be discovered in them. After 10,000 screenings of plant extracts, they found six that had potential. Their research was published in the journal OncoTarget, and when science wants, you know, to study how humans age, guess what they do? They look at yeast, because yeast will age, they claim, like humans do. So these six plants were studied to see if they extended the life of yeast. In other words, did they decelerate the aging process? And one of the six herbs significantly extended the lifespan of yeast. So let's look at the big six. According to their research, especially one of the researchers, Vladimir Tokurenko, he says the six plants they tested that had potential were black cohosh, valerian root, passion flower, ginkgo biloba, wild celery, and willow bark. Now, of the six, the willow bark was the most potent with the longest lasting action. So when they tested the willow bark against the yeast, they found it extended the lifespan of the yeast between 369% to 475%. So according to their research, this may mean that, you know, on a cellular or molecule level, these herbs have the potential to delay the onset or progression of the aging process and could stave off conditions that are associated with aging. So they also went a step further, Al, Melanie. They tested these six herbs against the anti-aging drugs that pharmaceutical companies make called rapamycin and metformin, and the herbs outperformed those drugs. What do you think of that?
I think that's, you know, big pharma won't like it.
Well, and good thing is, you know, even though they don't know what the mechanism in the herbs is yet, they're still studying them, these herbs are non-toxic. That's the best part, you know. But when you start isolating and picking apart the structure of your herbs and you make a pharmaceutical out of it, this is where your side effects come into play. Okay, so I say use the whole plant, you know. That's what I say. Now, it's real important when you're looking at your herbal extracts. According to health expert John Dulliard, there's some differences in your plant extracts that you should be aware of. He says the European Union has tried to establish a market standardized extract, which he says is impossible because plant crops will fluctuate in nutrition content from season to season depending on rainfall, soil, and where the crop is grown. So there's going to be some differences in the crop to crop, which can change the fragrance, color, taste, and texture of the plants, as well as potency of the plants. So on that point, I do agree with him. So Dilliard also explains that some manufacturers attempt to standardize their extracts with a process by extracting just one plant compound, and it's often called constituent or phytochemical extraction. And not all herbalists practice this or agree with it because it's not producing a whole food extract at that point. It's an isolated compound. It's void of the buffer alkaloids, and it's kind of similar to how the drug companies make their product. So most U.S. manufacturers of plant extracts will avoid that phytopharmaceutical process and use the entire nutrition of the plant to make the extract so it works properly in the human body. So therefore, Dulliard has confirmed what I've known and have been saying for years. Whole food supplements with the full spectrum of the nutrition are going to be more potent and safer for you. Okay? So you want to talk a little bit about these six and what they do?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, black cohosh, it's kind of a tall plant. It's native to North America and to Canada. It was used as a bed bug repellent by the Native American Indians and the early settlers. So this plant has lots of alkaloids. It does bind to the estrogen receptors, and therefore pregnant women shouldn't use it. Also, if you have an estrogen-dependent cancer, you shouldn't use this herb. And you shouldn't use this herb long-term, okay? Anything that kind of binds with estrogen, you know, a short burst here and there is fine, but don't use it every day forever. Valerian root is plant native to North America and Europe. It's often used to calm the nervous system down, kind of like your herbal chill pill. So it's rich in flavonoids, high in calcium, helps you sleep better because it helps with the serotonin. So people use it for that and to kind of decompress from a stressful day. Passion flower is a subtropical vine which also produces fruit with a flower, often used as pain reliever and for insomnia. It has lots of flavonoids and enzymes in this herb. The ginkgo, you're probably familiar with. Everybody looks at that as a memory enhancer. It's a tree that has a long lifespan. It usually grows for 1,000 years and can grow to 100 feet tall. It's indigenous to China, and it's an herb that is known to improve poor circulation. But you want to avoid this herb if you're taking anticoagulants, okay? It is an herb rich in flavonoids and antioxidants. It's known throughout Asia as the longevity herb, okay? Wild celery contains lots of oils and flavonoids, and it tends to purify the blood system. So you don't want to use it for extended amounts of time, and you don't want to exceed doses. Pregnant women, those with renal failure, should not use this herb. And also, if you like tanning beds or laying out in the sun, you don't want to do that for too long because this herb makes you burn faster. Okay. And lastly, the willow bark, indigenous to North America and China. It's a tree, but its inner bark is the one that has the anti-inflammatory and pain relief we're all looking for. It's the original source extract used that the pharmaceutical used for making aspirin. They would extract the salicin from it. And then they would isolate that compound. And in the end, your aspirin that you see in the stores is acetylsalicylic acid, and that's why it has side effects. It does interfere with immune system and platelets. So avoid taking willow bark now if you do have an aspirin allergy, okay? So I just thought this was interesting that, you know, you can't fool the master chemist, which would be our creator, you know? He knows everything there is to know about how these chemicals work. So I trust that. I don't try to circumvent God's copyright. And I use the whole plant nutrition when I'm going to use, whether it's the ginkgo, the valerian, or the willow bark, which we do have those formulas at thepowerherbs.com if people are interested in it. But just an extra plus that it just, you know, slows down the aging process.
When you say it slows down the aging process,
now,
I'm assuming, I think you're probably telling me that's an accurate statement, but I'm wondering, do you actually decelerate, are they talking about deceleration for aging, or are they talking about deceleration of the appearance of aging, and is there a significant difference between the two of them? I mean, if you look 20 years younger, are you 20 years younger, or is that just an appearance?
I think it's on a cellular level, whether it translates to what you see in the mirror. It wasn't really clear in the research, but they were just looking at it from, mm-hmm. you know, how the cells react, because the cells have a specific aging process, and they do get replaced. And of course, you've heard about the research on the telomeres, and once your telomeres get real short, you're dead, okay? But it's just on a cellular level. They're noticing that it just tends to preserve the lifespan of the cell. So whether that is going to have any effect as to the number of years you live on this planet, that's a good question. It's just interesting research at this point.
You talked about crop differences, how they applied, and some of these plants, herbs, you'd get one potency essentially out of one year's crop and a different potency perhaps out of the next year's crop. That there could be a difference in the crop. I'm wondering how these crops are, what effect have we seen, or has it been measured or suspected? The soil is not as fertile today as it was 50, 100, 200 years ago.
Right, right.
Have the herbs fallen off in potency because of that, or is there anything to be done to supplement the soil, or what's happening?
Right. Well, good question, Al. I mean, there is an important factor there. I think it's important when people start looking at, you know, herbs, supplements. That's why I like to educate people. And we have that 9-question download list on our website under the About Us page. It gives you kind of inside information about, you know, how a quality product reaches the store shelf and you get to use it. So you can be savvy when you select your products. You want herbs that are grown to TILTH, T-I-L-T-H standards. And what that means is that before they even planted their crop, the land was allowed to rest for 5 years. The mineral content was allowed to build up in the soil, and it was not treated with fertilizers, ethylene oxide gas, or any of these chemicals, so that the soil is as rich and as pure as you can expect it in our day and time. And usually when you plant a crop in soil like that and you don't treat the crop with chemicals as you go along and the harvesting of the crop is done properly at the right time, you have a very clean herb. They don't have bugs on them. It's interesting. Bugs really like sick plants, and you'll mm-hmm. have more bugs on sick plants than you will on mm-hmm. healthy ones. It's
almost
really
like vultures.
Yeah,
in a way, it's like vultures that are scavenging to pick up whatever is unclean and process it.
Right.
Why don't you give us some contact information, Wendy?
Oh, sure. They can call for a free product catalog. The number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, and our website is thepowerherbs.com. Thanks. We'll
All right.
talk to you later.
Thank you, Wendy. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you for the information. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment on Financial Survival.
prostate count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisker with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Do you have a selection, Melody, that you would like to address next?
Well, yes. I always want to talk about the website to make sure the listeners visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and you can sign up for our weekly newsletter. Many of you have. We get lots and lots of that is really increasing. Al does a great job in writing articles. We have we include some other articles in there and news that I find along the way. And it's a nice little gives you an update on the precious metals from week to week. So make sure you get and sign up for it. Everything that you need to know is right there. And we have a great special. We're going to continue. This is going to be the last day that we do the Mint State 61 $20 Liberty gold pieces at $13.25 for the Mint State 61 $20 Liberty gold piece. It's just one heck of a bargain, selling for a little over what a gold bullion coin would sell for, what an American Eagle would sell for, $30. And so for those of you who have bullion and you'd like to get into some $20 gold pieces, now is the time to do it. Once again, I haven't seen this spread, such a small spread between a bullion coin and a Mint State 61 in over 21 years that I've been doing this. So it is a heck of a buy. And again, that spread is so low, not because the coins are doing so poorly, it's I have decreased our price in order to give you such a great deal. So again, give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
As all of you know, Donald Trump did not win in Wisconsin last night. There's an article from the Los Angeles Times says Cruz wins Wisconsin, complicating Trump's path to the nomination. Ted Cruz romped to victory Tuesday in the Wisconsin primary, dealing a setback to Donald Trump and complicating the frontrunner's efforts to win the delegates he needs to secure the GOP nomination without a fight at this summer's Republican convention. Republican primary, there were 42 delegates. Tuesday's win helped Cruz slice Trump's delegate lead, but only narrowly, right? Cruz won, but it did, but he didn't win overwhelmingly, and as a result, he didn't gain that much on Trump. Trump, who usually put out lavish displays to celebrate his earlier victories, made no public appearance. And Donald is sulking. Instead, he spoke through a scathing statement issued by his campaign, saying that he was a victim of an onslaught by Wisconsin's Republican establishment and countless millions of dollars in false advertising. He described Cruz as a Trojan horse being used by the party bosses attempting to steal the nomination, and predicted that he alone would secure the delegates to win. Well, we'll see how this all works out. According to one estimate, Trump is now in a position where he has maybe a 50-50 chance of winning the nomination, which is more than the other two candidates, but just the same, it's not a lock. Now, here's another story from the Washington Examiner that deals with the issue of who's going to choose the Republican Party's presidential candidate. And the headline is Priebus, P-R-I-B-U-S, the party is choosing a nominee. The party. All right? Now, we talked about this once before. We had a Republican delegate from maybe North Dakota. About a month ago, he let the cat out of the bag by saying, well, it's interesting how people vote in these primaries. But in fact, the party decides who's going to be the nominee, which left very interesting question. Who or what comprised the party? Because the implication of the delegates' comments from about a month ago, and I think maybe North Dakota, but I'm not sure. The implication is that the party does not include the 99.9% of all the people that are getting excited and putting out yard signs and wearing hats and the rest of that, say, I'm a Republican. I got a Republican banner, a button here on my chest. I'm for Trump. I'm for Kasich. I'm for Cruz, whoever. That's not the party. That's the implication. The party is something else. The party is a relatively elite minority who, in fact, under the rules that exist, they're entitled to select who the candidate's going to be without regard, without being bound by the Democrat primary or, excuse me, the Republican primary voters and rest of that sort of thing. They're not necessarily bound by that. And that was an extraordinary admission, again, about a month ago. And now we have Republican National Committee Chairman Rince Priebus, who cautioned supporters of Donald Trump who vocally disapprove of the GOP's delegate allocation and selection process. He said, by the way, he's on radio. He was on radio in the last day or two. He says, by the way, this is a nomination for the Republican Party. He was on 620 WTMJ in Wisconsin. If you don't like the party, then sit down. The party is choosing the nominee. Now, Priebus does not say what the party is, but again, he is strongly implying that the party does not include all the people who think of themselves as Republicans and are voting in the Republican primary. You're not the party, right? Priebus said he does not think Trump will win as a third-party candidate and added that he expects all remaining Republican candidates to support the party's, not the people's, not the primary voters, the party's nominee. Previous comments came as Wisconsinites headed to the polls to cast votes in a primary that could send the GOP hurtling toward a contested convention. or move Trump several inches closer to securing the nomination before the convention begins. What I'm saying about all of this, there is a revelation here that's quite extraordinary. And the revelation is that the party does not include all the people who think of themselves as Republicans. Just because you vote Republican doesn't mean you're a Republican. And it's a virtual certainty that whatever is true for the Republican Party is also true for the Democrat Party. You may think of yourself as a Democrat, but the party apparently regards you as something like chattel. And the Republicans, a lot of people vote for Republicans, say, yes, I'm a Republican. The real party looks at you as, oh, 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 you idiots. All right? This is an extraordinary revelation from my perspective. I remember back in the 1990s, I talked to someone. I ran for public office a couple of times. In fact, I ran for the Supreme Court of Texas on one occasion. I had no chance of winning, but I got on the ballot, which was illegal. I shouldn't have been allowed to be on the ballot. But I found an 1870 federal law that would allow me to run. So I wound up with 201,000 votes running as a Libertarian candidate for place one of the Supreme Court of Texas. The winner had something like 4 or 5 million. So I was not competitive, but I got on the ballot, probably the first non-attorney to get on the ballot since the end of the Civil War. What's the point? The point is I had a little background in politics. I fooled around with it a little bit. I just never took it seriously. It was always just sort of an experiment and a probe to see how things worked. And someone I knew told me back then, he said, the Republican Party doesn't include all the people who vote for it and, again, put out those signs and wear the hats and so on. The Republican Party, according to him, consisted only of those people who had been elected to public office nationwide who ran under a Republican banner. Now, I don't know that his description of what the Republican Party was, the real Republican Party, I don't know that it was accurate. I know at the time it stuck in my mind, but I didn't understand it. In fact, I was skeptical of it. But here we see the Republican National Committee chairman, Priebus. He's essentially saying, yeah, the Republican Party is not all of the people who vote Republican. It's something smaller and much more elite. He's saying this by implication, and what he's implying is maybe the description I heard of the Republican Party back in the 1990s was accurate. Maybe it is only those people who are currently holding office who were elected under the Republican banner. Now, maybe it's everybody who's ever held office as a Republican. I don't know what it is, but it's a fraction. It's not 1% of the people who identify as Republicans. It's a tiny fraction, and they are allegedly controlling. If they wish to make sure that Donald Trump isn't going to be nominated, he's not going to be nominated. And I find this to be extraordinary information because they are taking a terrible risk. All right? I guarantee you that if the Republican Party intentionally deprives Trump of the nomination, which he might other, if he's the guy who should receive the nomination and the Republican Party makes sure he doesn't, I don't think the Republican Party is going to recover for, who knows, 10, 15 years into the future before people will take the party seriously again. I think they will be, the party itself will be badly damaged by this betrayal of the public, what you could call the public trust. The reason that strikes me as significant, why would they run that risk? Why would they run the risk of perhaps crippling the Republican Party by depriving someone who's perhaps earned the nomination and still they said, no, we don't want you. The people want you, but we don't. Why would they take a risk of exposing that power? To me, it signals that maybe they're aware that something is very close. They don't want Trump in office, and it's not just because he's bombastic and a pain in the butt. There's something else. They've got something planned for the next president who sits in the White House. They've got something big planned, and they don't want Trump there to muck up the works. And whatever is planned, this is pure speculation. I'm conjecture. I don't have evidence to support this other than what I'm telling you. And these are just, you know, but it suggests that they are preparing for something so massive and so treacherous
that they don't care if the Republican Party never wins another election. Something else is happening. Certainly before we get to the next Republican presidential primaries, and maybe even before we get to the next off-year election in, 2018. But now, is that true? Don't know. But it seems almost inconceivable to me that the Republican Party would dare to deprive Trump they're going to lose everybody who votes for Trump. I don't think the Republican Party can do that and continue to be viable. And yet the Republican Party is willing to take that risk to make sure that Trump is not the candidate, or at least it appears they may be willing to take that risk. They're certainly considering it. That means something big is just over the horizon. That, at least that's the implication for me.
Well, I'm not so sure how successful they will be, because if they do prevent from him being the nominee, he will not sit quietly. They will have unleashed the beast. And if he goes to a third party, he would win. And I think they know that. I think this is the best opportunity if we ever wanted to see a third party to be, to be something that people would actually vote for. It would be Trump. But I do believe if they don't allow him to be the nominee, and if he gets his 1,237, he will not sit by quietly. And I hope that he.
No, I don't know what he's going to do
next. I hope he's
angry about Wisconsin, and we're going to see what happens. I mean, Trump may just say, "All right, USOBs, you want to play? Let's play." All right. It may be hard to say how Trump is going to react to this, but he's got the money to play the game if he cares to really jump in with both feet and just say, all right, you want a war? I'm going to give you
a war. That's my point. If he's ready to do war here now, shortly after Wisconsin, I can only imagine what he would be like if they took away his
status. Oh, I understand.
Status, his nominee
status. I'll bet he can walk out and take 60% of the apparent Republican voters with him.
Plus, he would
start a third party that is technically bigger than whatever remains of the Republican Party after he walks out. It may not be as big as the Democrats, but it would be quite possibly as big or bigger than whatever remains of the Republicans. Okay, gang, we're out of here. The Republicans will be able to hold their meetings down at Denny's. They won't need a convention hall. They'll be, we're meeting at Denny's this Tuesday. Hard to say, but as we've said on this program repeatedly, this is the most extraordinary political election I can remember ever having witnessed. All right, this is something really. I don't know. It's like they're putting extra drugs in the drinking water, or maybe they're not putting enough drugs in the drinking water. But something we have lost control in this country. And it's like that song from the Pointer Sisters. I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it. A lot of people do like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever Trump is doing, he has, he's done some things. He's made some stupid remarks. And perhaps he's learned his lesson after Wisconsin. He keep his, be a little more civil, to be a little less bombastic and the rest of that. But he's the only candidate up there who has brought issues out into the forefront that the politicians, the establishment, don't even want to talk about. Trump will talk about them, right? He has caused something to happen in American politics. He's brought something to the surface. I don't know that he caused it, but he's brought something to the surface that was there and latent and waiting for some politician. Will somebody please tell the truth? Trump finally did. And the public says, yeah, this guy's trying to tell the truth. Let's deal with him. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Here's an article from Business Insider. The headline is, the U.S. government has a $20.4 trillion retirement problem. Now, this is interesting to me, and it's interesting because government has been telling us all the national debts. We've watched it basically double in the last 8 years during the Obama administration, and now it is allegedly about $19 trillion. All right. But we've told you repeatedly that according to John Williams at shadowstats.com, the national debt is actually about $100 trillion. And the Congressional Budget Office and attorney and economist Lawrence Kotlikoff have both claimed that the actual, including unfunded liabilities, the national debt is actually a little over $200 trillion, which translates into something like $650,000 in debt for every man, woman, and child in this country. So we are facing a question, who's telling the truth? Gum says, oh, the national debt's only $19 trillion. John Williams, oh, no, it's not. It's five times bigger. It's it's $100 trillion. And Lawrence Kotlikoff says, no, it's $200 trillion. It's 10 times bigger. Who's telling the truth? Well, I don't know. But this article from Business Insider gives us a clue to who is fibbing. It says the U.S. government has nowhere near enough money to pay retirees. According to the credit agency Moody's, state, local, and federal governments are about $7 trillion short in funding upcoming pension plans. The unfunded liabilities of various federal employee pension systems covering civilian and military employee benefits amounts to about $3.5 trillion or 20% of the U.S. gross domestic product. Additionally, Moody's estimates that the unfunded state and local government pension plan liabilities are of the same magnitude, bringing a total shortfall to 40% of the gross domestic product, right? Additionally, Moody's said the public pensions are only one piece of the growing retirement problem in the U.S. The bigger challenge to U.S. comes from unfunded liabilities for the Social Security and Medicare programs. Social Security funding gap is estimated at $13.4 trillion, or 75% of gross domestic product, while the shortfall for the hospital insurance component of the Medicare program amounts to $3.2 trillion, 18% of the GDP. I haven't been adding up all the numbers, but I think where we're going here is the pensions they're talking about. And these unfunded liabilities, they are coming up close to 200% of 1 year's GDP, which means if we work for 2 years and we don't spend anything on food, clothing, we give all our money to the government, we may be able to cover these pensions over a period of 2 years. The larger point, they're talking about unfunded liabilities, which is exactly what John Williams is talking about when he calculates $100 trillion in total debt. It's exactly what Lawrence Kotlikoff is talking about when he calculates over $200 trillion in total debt. Unfunded liabilities. These are unfunded, which means these are not part of the $19 trillion that the government says, oh, we owe $19 trillion. Don't worry, not to worry. We've got unfunded liabilities here that are going to run in terms of, here it goes, this means that between the pension shortfall and the benefits shortfall, the U.S. government is $20.4 trillion short in funding for retirees. Okay, that's $20.4 trillion on top of the $19 trillion that we're told, oh, that's what the national debt is. We've got another $20 trillion on top of that, but they're admitting right now. And I don't doubt that if we stick around for a while, they are going to admit an extra $20 trillion in debt now. And within the next 6 weeks or 2 months or whenever, we're going to hear, oh, we've got another $20 trillion on top of that. And we're going to see how far this goes. But it appears that whatever the truth is about the size of the national debt, we're getting some revelations. It's beginning to come out. John Williams has been complaining about the true size of the national debt, I'll bet, for at least 5 years and maybe 8 or 10. He's been calculating what the true size of the national debt is. The government says, oh, we just have a little bit. They say, oh, you don't. You have a lot. All right? Well, it turns out that here's Moody's, and they're saying, well, the government's been fibbing. When they say it's the national debt's $19 trillion, there's still unfunded liabilities that are at least, right now, we have evidence, they are at least double what the government claims. That translates into, well, I'd have to do the math. I'm not going to do it in my head anymore. I can't. There was a time when I could snap out mathematics and it was not a problem. And you get to be a senior citizen. And now I need to bring along a kid in order to calculate my change at McDonald's. So I have problems sometimes calculating these numbers. But just the same, the debt's at least twice as big as the government admits. There's not any doubt about that right now. And it will probably be shown to be much bigger than that before this is all over, which simply means this article, and they're talking about government pensions, and they're talking about benefits for retirees, including Medicare, Social Security. And it says, with this lack of funding, this is the last line in the article, public employees and the U.S. government are staring down a huge retirement problem. So the question is, what is that huge retirement problem? Huh? There's the question. What's that huge retirement problem? They don't say. But the answer has to be there will be no money to fund the retirements of government employees, or there'll be, at least, I can't say no money, but there'll be a lot less than people had assumed and expected. Government retirees are going to begin to see their retirement benefits cut, all right? Significantly. We'll watch and see how much that is, and it'll probably be another 2 years or so before we begin to see, and maybe 2 years before we begin to see significant cuts in government retiree programs. Same thing with Social Security, Medicare. There isn't going to be enough money to fund that retirement. And the lesson in all of this is that those of you who are on the verge of retirement or who are concerned about your retirement, might be 20 years before you plan to retire. Still, the evidence continues to mount to support what we've warned you about on this program for 5 years. Your chances of getting that money in the foreseeable future are diminishing as we speak. And it means that if you really want to take care of your retirement, it's going to be up to you. The circumstances, the government's debt is, if John Williams is correct, and the real national debt right now total is $100 trillion. I don't see how they're going to pay more than maybe 10, 20% of that. And if it's $200 trillion, it's, you know, most of it won't be paid. Some of it will. You might be lucky. Maybe yours will get paid. Maybe you get in fast enough and you get your retirement. But I'm telling you, within a few years, you won't be able to count on government pensions, government benefits. That means you have to think, what are you going to do? You know, you got to look at this thing and say, what can I do to protect my retirement? Because if you're going to trust in the government, you are almost certainly going to see that trust betrayed. One of the things you're going to certainly consider, and you know where I'm going with this, you're going to want to get into some precious metals and sequester your savings into precious metals. Deposit your wealth into precious metals. They may be the means to carry you through your retirement when government just finally says, sorry, guess what? We're broke. Can't pay you. And you know, we know you promised. We know we promised, but we had other things. We had important things to do with your money. We collected it from you. And we promised that it would be in the Social Security account or it would be in the government pension funds. But golly, we had important things to do. There were wars in Vietnam and Iraq, and now we're over in Syria, and there are plenty of other things for us. We needed to take care of those, and so we spent your retirement funds.
We already know they tapped into those accounts. Into those programs, because every time there was a debt ceiling problem or there was a time when they couldn't meet the budgets and so forth and there was a fear of government shutting down, they created this special financing and they tapped into, you know, the retirement accounts of government employees. They tapped into Social Security. Why wouldn't they tap into their government programs, their government retirement? So, I mean, they admit that they take from it. I mean, they still don't readily accept or make the announcements that they stole from Social Security and put IOUs in there through the hey, they admit that they borrow from the government pension plan. So if they can borrow from all these programs, yeah, there's still $20 trillion sitting there in other government retirement programs like IRAs and private pension funds and so forth. So,
and there's, sir, I have no idea how much money is
if it's sitting
is deposited
there,
into banks.
They're going to borrow it.
Yeah, they're going to borrow
they're
it.
They're going to borrow it.
That's like
they're
that's like the Beagle
it.
Boys. I don't know how many of you people remember the Beagle Boys from Donald Duck cartoons, comic books back in the 50s and maybe even into the 60s. I remember the Beagle Boys. They're a bunch of gangsters and thugs that tried to rob Scrooge McDuck of all his gold. They're robbing banks and whatever. The government is like the Beagle Boys. I mean, if they're willing to loot your Social Security funds, I guarantee they're willing to loot your bank accounts. Not yet, necessarily. Hasn't happened yet. But there is nothing. If they can get away with it, it's one of those things, they'll calculate the political risk of looting the bank accounts. But push comes to shove, government's broke, government needs the money to try to maintain the facade of being in control. They'll loot your bank accounts. And people could sit back and they can say, well, I'm exaggerating the problem, I'm preaching doom and gloom and the rest of that sort of thing.
No.
Some of you people can just sit back. What do you think? Do you think the government would or would not raid your bank account? I don't know how many people there are in the audience. Oh, no, we can trust the government. The government would never loot our bank account. Yeah, they would. I certainly think so, and I have no doubt. I strongly suspect that the majority of people listening to this program are just nodding their heads. Yeah, they run. So what's it tell us? It tells us that you're going to have to look for a... It suggests you may do well to find a mechanism where you can store your wealth that is not where government can easily lay hands on it. That includes pension funds. They'll borrow them into oblivion. That includes bank accounts, maybe government bonds, all things paper. Where do you want to put it? You know what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you, as we always do, you're going to consider going into precious metals. If you want to store your wealth in a form that's liquid, meaning that you can spend it readily, you're going to look at gold and you're going to look at silver. And you're going to think, things, difficult times are headed our way. Not necessarily. I can't tell you that, I can't tell you God's truth has declared we're necessarily going to have difficult times in the next several years. But you can't look at the circumstances and say, no, that's impossible. That's unlikely. That's improbable. No, it's not. There's a real good chance, not a certainty, but there's a very good chance that what I'm telling you is correct. And let's suppose I'm wrong. Worst case scenario, you wind up with a fistful of gold dollars. That's not a bad thing at any time in the history of the world. Right. Worst case, if you don't get the gold, you're going to wind up with a fistful of paper debt instruments that are going to turn out to be worthless. We're out of time. I want to recommend you give Melody a call at 1-800-375-4188. Discount Gold and Silver. I'm Alfred Addisk. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams.